Well, we are talking about the Holy Spirit for several weeks, and we continue on with that series today. I want to begin by telling a story about a bridge. Years ago, a bridge was built over a great river in one of our western states, and it was decided as a publicity stunt that once it officially opened to the public, a $1,000 prize would be given to the occupants of the 100th car that drove across this new bridge. So a little crowd had gathered, and we're all excited about this. And at last, the car that would be number 100 to cross the bridge was seen off there in the distance approaching them. And the crowd began to cheer as the car got closer to the bridge. And then something unexpected happened. The car stopped, paused for a moment, and then it did a U-turn and went the opposite direction. And a police car was sent after this car to find out what happened. And once apprehended, the driver was asked why on earth he had turned around rather than going across the bridge. And he said, well, I saw that sign about a $1 toll to go over the bridge, and I decided that I didn't want to pay the price. Really? So you're not willing to give up $1 in order to get $1,000? Silly choice, yes? But you know, in a different way, all too many people make the same decision in another way that's even more impossible to defend. They think that surrendering their lives to Jesus and becoming his followers is just too high a price to pay. And when you compare what you gain by following Jesus with all that you give up, it makes even less sense than giving up $1,000 to save $1. So we're in the midst of this message series on the Holy Spirit, Invasion from Above, Why the Holy Spirit Matters. And today I'd like to explore with you the significance of two lesser-known images, pictures, metaphors of the Holy Spirit and his ministry in our lives. First of all, the Holy Spirit is like a seal, not the animal, different kind of seal, okay? And secondly, he's like a deposit or a down payment. And both pictures have in common the fact that they're commercial or they're business-related metaphors. And both of them also underline the often unrealized wealth of what we have received as followers of Jesus. Spiritually speaking, folks, this can happen to us sometimes. It's as if we've been given a gift card worth billions of dollars, but we just refuse to use it. We prefer spiritual poverty sometimes to the fact that we are spiritually wealthy. And there's two passages in the Bible that both refer to the Holy Spirit as a seal and as a deposit. And I want you to look at those passages with me just now. First of all, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read verses 11 to 14. Paul is the author of both scripture passages that we're looking at today, but they're found in different letters that he wrote. And the first one is found in the letter that he wrote to the Ephesian Christians, chapter 1, verse 11. Pull out a pew Bible if you don't have one. Find it in your Bible, on your phone, whatever works for you. And follow along as I read that passage, okay? Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 11. In him, him is Jesus, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, here it comes, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, that's the Ephesians passage. Now go back a few books in your New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And there's two verses I want to read with you there. That should be 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Okay? And here's what that scripture says. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his, here we go, seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You see, when you become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to live in you. And when that happens, two very important life-changing facts become true of you and me spiritually from that day forward. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a seal, which means that he is the mark that we are owned by God. Owned by God. Now, seals were a big deal 2,000 years ago when the New Testament was written. Fewer people back then could read or write, and so a seal was like a signature. It was a mark, an insignia of some kind that was then impressed on a surface like soft clay and allowed to harden so it became a stamp or a seal. And important people had their own personal seals. And seals indicated, there you get a sense of what they look like. Seals indicated that when a business transaction of some kind was completed, or it was often used as a mark of ownership. If you put your seal on something, it belonged to you. And so 2,000 years ago, seals were used to mark packages and letters and livestock, much like a brand on cattle. It was even used on human slaves. Seals were a mark of ownership. Now, in addition to that, there were many different religions 2,000 years ago, just like there is today, and many followers of different faiths would get tattooed with a special mark, a seal, to indicate their allegiance to their religion. Jewish people back then, and many still continue to do it today, circumcised their male children as a mark that the child belonged to God. And Paul borrowed that whole idea, and he said, in effect, well, followers of Jesus have a seal too. They have a mark of ownership. What is it? What's the indication? What's the mark? What's the sign that we belong to God? Well, some of us might say very quickly, it's water baptism. No, it's not. It's not confirmation. It's not a piece of paper saying that you're a member of this or some other church. Listen to what the Bible said to us this morning. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised who? Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine is the mark of God's ownership. Now it is God, here's the other passage, now it is God who set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts. So when did you and I get sealed? The moment you became a follower of Jesus, at your conversion. When you surrender your life to him in an act of faith and you put your trust in him, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is a sign, an indicator, a mark that God owns you. Well, something else about these ancient seals. They conveyed both authority and also authenticity. They conveyed the authority or the power of whoever was doing the sealing. A couple of examples. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament, the prophet, and how he got put into the lion's den? Well, you may also remember that the king who did that sealed it. He sealed the den with his own seal, meaning that no one was supposed to try and rescue Daniel. If so, that person would have to answer to the king. And then another example, when Jesus' dead body was put into the tomb, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, ordered it sealed under the authority of the Roman government. No one was to try and take the body of Jesus away without Pilate's permission. Well, we all know how that turned out. Likewise, when the Holy Spirit is present in your life and mine, he's the mark of God's authority and power in you and over you. Now, also in the ancient world, when you seal something, it meant that whatever you were sealing was authentic, it was valid, it was the real deal. And so the Holy Spirit's presence in your life and mine is also the mark that you and I are authentic followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the real deal spiritually when the Holy Spirit is living in and through you. Now, part of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to constantly assure and reassure you and me that we belong to God. Why? Because he wants you and me to enjoy and be secure in the knowledge that God owns you and he owns me. You know, you probably are aware that one of the great debates for hundreds of years among Christians is whether a Christian can lose his or her salvation. And I am among those who believe that a true child of God can never get kicked out of God's family. Yes, to be sure, a Christian can sin, can mess up terribly, grieve the Holy Spirit, hurt other people, hurt yourself, and be out of any meaningful contact with God for a very long time. But if the Holy Spirit truly lives in you, you will repent and return to the Lord eventually. So, yes, I believe that wholeheartedly in what sometimes is called eternal security, because the only alternative I know to eternal security is eternal insecurity. And I don't believe that God wants us to operate on that level spiritually. We sang earlier today, a good, good father. Well, even earthly fathers know that part of our job is to make sure our kids know that they are loved and they're a part of this family regardless, right? Now, if we as earthly fathers feel that way, then why would we think that our heavenly father would operate any differently than we would? The seal of God, the Holy Spirit himself, will bring that deep assurance of that eternal connection that we have with God. Here's what the Bible says. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that is? That's assurance, isn't it? You belong to the Lord. The Lord belongs to you forever. I don't know if they're still used or not, but when hurricanes have sometimes entered the Gulf of Mexico, the oil rigs located out there in the Gulf sometimes use a pretty cool rescue device. It's essentially a lifeboat. And those oil rig workers can scramble into this bullet-shaped looking bus type of thing, strap themselves into its seats, and then the vehicle is released down a chute and it's projected away from the oil rig. And that capsule will just bob around in the ocean until rescuers come to pick it up. And you and I, yeah, we're going to face some hurricanes in life, not literally, but figuratively. But your ultimate welfare is secure because you've been put into the ultimate rescue device, the Holy Spirit Himself. And when you're in Him and He's in you, you are secure, my friend, today and forever. Now, because you're owned by God, that simply means that you're now God's property forever. Okay? And that's the assumption when the Bible says something like this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of who? The Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God. See his line of thought here. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And when you remember every day who it is that lives inside of you, well, it can mean all the difference between frustrated living in Jesus and meaningful living in Jesus. You know, some of us as followers of Jesus, we live defeated lives, just kind of lurching from one crisis to another with the sense of never overcoming. And other Christians are able to deal with life's ups and downs in productive and God-honoring ways. Why? What's the difference? Well, it's not the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, He indwells every genuine believer, right? Yes. The issue is really one of recognition and acknowledgement. Some Christians acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and they joyfully live out the fact that they are owned by God. They're God's property. They're quite happy to be God's property. And others of us, frankly, try to continue to be our own masters and suffer the consequences of that, which is just kind of frustration most of the time. The Holy Spirit is your seal, meaning that God owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. You're His property. And once He entered your life, the Spirit has now begun this lifelong process of turning you from a self-centered person into a God-centered person. And you know what else it means? It means that when God owns you, my friend, He has the right to make any demand of us at any time, at any place, for any reason, because He owns you. You're His property. And because the Holy Spirit lives within you, you now have the ability to become whoever God wants you to be and to do whatever God wants you to do. You now have the privilege to be His servant. But the question that I think you and I all need to ask ourselves from time to time is, what kind of a servant are we? You know, before indoor plumbing, people got their water sometimes from surface wells that you had to pump by hand. That's the type of water source there on the left, the old pump. And as long as you pumped, the water would come. But when you stopped, so did the water. Some wells also needed to be primed. You had to leave a little water in a jar to prime the pump so that you could get it going the next time. And, you know, I've known, and I bet you have too, we've all known Christians that are a little like that, people who need to be primed and pumped and pleaded and begged to do much of anything for the kingdom of God. But there's a whole different kind of a well. There's a such thing as an artesian well. And you just connect to it and turn on the spigot. And it'll just flow and flow and flow and keep on flowing until you turn it off. And I've known followers of Jesus like that too. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they just look for places to make an impact for Jesus. They're always willing, they're always ready, they're always eager to reach out. And just like there are differences between wells, there are differences between Christians. And so a question that I want to leave with you this morning is this one. Are you more like that artesian well or that surface well that just needs to be primed and pumped and pleated and begged? Well, the Bible uses another picture, another metaphor from the world of business and commerce to help us understand why the Holy Spirit matters. He is a seal, but the Holy Spirit is also like a deposit, like a deposit. And a deposit is the mark that I'm owed by God. I'm owed by God. Not owned, that's the seal part. The deposit is I'm owed by God. Now, this picture, this metaphor of the Holy Spirit is more easily understood because it's still very much a part of our lives today, yes? I mean, we don't use seals anymore, but we're all well acquainted with the practice of providing a deposit or a down payment when we're purchasing a big ticket item like a house or a car. And it's interesting to find the language of debt being used to describe our relationship with God, isn't it? I mean, it's certainly true. I mean, this is what's easy to understand. It's certainly true that each of us owe a debt to God that we can never repay. But when the Holy Spirit is compared to a deposit or a down payment, this is not about what we owe God or the fact that we are in His debt eternally, which we are. Surprisingly, it's just the opposite. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life is the sign that God actually owes you and me something. Well, take that truth in for just a moment. God has made Himself a debtor to each of His children, to you and to me. Consider, again, the two scriptures that we looked at earlier. One says, and when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own. The literal word there is seal. By giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago, the Spirit is God's guarantee. It's a little different translation, but that word is deposit, down payment. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. The other scripture we looked at says He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment, deposit, down payment, same word, the first installment that guarantees everything that He has promised us. So when you buy a house or a car and you want to finance the majority of it, what do? Well, you're usually required to make a sizable down payment or deposit. It's part of the purchase price, but you've got to put that money down in order to seal the deal. And it's usually a significant amount because it indicates your willingness to pay the whole amount eventually. And the deposit guarantees the contract, the arrangement, right? So when you first put your trust in Jesus, God sent His Spirit into your spirit and my spirit as a kind of an initial deposit. He's like this incredibly significant first installment of everything else that God is going to give you as His child. And so the Holy Spirit's actual presence in your life and mine is part of the whole gift of a relationship with God. God hasn't given us everything He plans to give us yet. That's good news, isn't it? That's going to happen in heaven someday. But right now, today, you and I get a foretaste or an appetizer of what God has in store for everyone the Holy Spirit indwells. God whets our appetite, so to speak, for all that He intends to give us in the future by giving us the Holy Spirit right now, today. And here's the fact that should boggle your mind and my mind. Almighty God has obligated Himself to little you, little me, by giving us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes that contract, that relationship, that arrangement between God and us valid, authentic, in force. The Holy Spirit is the first and the greatest installment of everything that God wants to pour out and into us as His children. It's as if God says to you and me, you know, when I give you my Spirit, He's the down payment. I now owe you the rest of what I've agreed to give you. I put myself in your debt. How amazing is that? That God would become your debtor and my debtor. I've learned that the original Greek word for deposit that's used in the New Testament there is still used in modern Greek today. It refers to a woman's engagement ring. And an engagement ring is kind of like a down payment or a deposit, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, a man is saying to the woman he loves that she can expect a whole lot more in care and provision if she will marry him. The ring is a symbolic promise to provide love and care for the rest of her life. But he offers a ring to her right now, today, because he wants her to have a foretaste or a promise of what this future relationship is going to be like. And so the Holy Spirit is God's promise given to you and to me that marks the eternal nature of this relationship. By giving us His Spirit, God is saying, one day we will die, yes, but we will find ourselves in heaven for all eternity. One day we'll say goodbye to sick bodies and personal failures and frustration and heartache and tears. One day, despite our current failures, the character of Jesus is going to be clearly demonstrated in our lives consistently, perfectly, with no blemishes whatsoever. Today, the Holy Spirit already gives you and me just a taste of the joy and the love that we're going to receive in full later on. Today, the Holy Spirit has already begun to change our attitudes and alter our behavior so they increasingly please God. Today, the Holy Spirit is reminding us and assuring us that we really are God's children and that relationship is not going to be taken away. Today, the Holy Spirit gives you a spiritual power and ability to be and to do what honors God. Today, the Holy Spirit gives you a peace that passes human comprehension as you face life's fears and tests. The presence of the Holy Spirit means that you're owed something. God has graciously put Himself in your debt, and He promises to honor and fulfill this arrangement. Now, we can better appreciate what the Bible says elsewhere. Since He, God, did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Yes! The answer is absolutely yes, because the presence of the Holy Spirit guarantees it. Every Christian should know something about David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a Scottish missionary doctor who helped to open up the continent of Africa to the message of Jesus back in the 1800s. And in 1856, David Livingstone faced maybe the most dangerous time in his 16 years of ministry in and on the continent of Africa. He was had an expedition, and he was leading a group of men through a territory that belonged to a chief by the name of Murumba. I have a little trouble saying that, Murumba. Anyway, Murumba was very hostile to Livingston. And not only was he hostile to Livingston, but he was trying to get everybody in the territory that he governed or controlled to be against Livingston as well. And so Livingston received many, many warnings to turn back, to retreat, to go a different direction. And he just continued to forge on. But the fear was starting to get to him. I mean, there were reports of native warriors who were kind of making their way through the jungle to attack Livingston and his party. And one night, it all kind of came to a head. And he just spent some time with God, and he looked at a promise that he had held on to in God's word on many other occasions. And he you know, we have David Livingston's journals available to us, and this is what he wrote on that particular night. January 14th, 1856, evening. Felt much turmoil of spirit in view of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and teeming population knocked on its head by savages tomorrow. But I read that Jesus came and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It's the word of a gentleman of the most sacred and strictest honor, and there's an end on it. I will not cross furtively by night as intended. Nay, verily, I shall take observations of latitude and longitude tonight, though they may be the last. I feel quite calm now. Thank God. Nothing happened to Livingston that night. And the next morning, he got up, and the sense of calm and peace that God had given to him was still very much there. And the natives that he was working with, they kept saying, "Look, you're in danger." And Livingston went out of his way to show them and anybody else that was watching, because Murumba and his forces were there in the jungle just watching all this happen. He says, I want to show them that I'm not afraid. And so he deliberately took the last place in the last canoe. They were crossing this river, all 114 men in his party and all their oxen and so forth. And he deliberately walked as slow as he could and sat down in that canoe. And nothing bothered, and no one bothered David Livingston that day. It's the word of a gentleman of the most sacred and strictest honor. And there's an end on it. But Rick, Christians still have hard times. They have challenges. They face hurdles of one kind or another. Why should we trust in Jesus? Because, my friend, you are owned and owed by God Himself. But Rick, even for Christians, the future is uncertain. We don't always know what's going to happen, and sometimes what's ahead of us can be frightening. Why should we take courage in Jesus? Because, my friend, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are owned and owed by God Himself. But, Pastor, Christians still die. Why should we put our hope in Jesus and in a place called heaven? Because if the Holy Spirit lives in you, my friend, you are owned and owed by God Himself. The Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine, is the seal It's the deposit. It's the down payment of all that God is, of all that God has done, of all that God will yet do. And so, my friend, if the Holy Spirit lives in you today, you are owned by God and you are owed by God. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise today for your Holy Spirit. We've just been reminded this morning that because the Holy Spirit lives in us, you own us. We belong to you. We're your property. Not just on good days, but on bad days. Not when everything is going well only, but even when things are not going well. We belong to you. And we also just are amazed by that wonderful fact that if the Holy Spirit lives in us today, it means that you guarantee that we're going to get the rest of what you have for us. You put yourself in debt to us. You owe us the rest of what you have promised. And so we thank you for these wonderful promises that come to us in and through your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to live in light of them every day. Help us not to be like people who, well, spiritually are not willing to exchange $1 for $1,000. Help us to be like people who just graciously understand what we've been given and live into it each and every day. We give you thanks and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.